The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today, the author of In Some Other World, maybe Sherry Goldhig. And Sherry, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Put this book in a genre for me. In Some Other World, maybe science fiction, perhaps, when I look at the title?
No, it's actually, it's interesting because it's, I think they're calling it literary fiction or contemporary fiction, but the characters in the book all sort of are interested in this sci-fi. First, it's a series of comic books, then it becomes a movie, and then later a TV show. So there is a sci-fi element, but the book itself is not particularly sci-fi. So because they're pretty much actually in this world, but the idea that there, you know, might be another one is a, you know, a part of it. So yeah, I would say literary fiction, contemporary fiction.
I would guess young adult, adult. What would you say there?
You know, it's an adult book written for adults, but it does start when they're teenagers. And I've noticed that it's popping up on a couple like YA lists on Goodreads and things like that. So I feel like there's, you know, there's probably a lot of young adults reading it. But yeah, I mean, it's an adult fiction. Our adult fiction, there's a good deal of intimacy and, you know, things like that. So it's probably more generally adult. But yeah, plenty of young adults seem to be enjoying it.
Tell me a little bit about the story, because we move to a few states, few cities in this book.
Yeah, well, the idea is basically it begins when three groups of teenagers, and they're all going to go see this the opening of this new movie based on a series of comic books. And they're in different cities at the time, and they all go and they have their own misadventures. And then the book just sort of follows them over the next 20 years. So they all kind of mix in, you know, they meet each other at various points. They move across the world, across, you know, the states, but they kind of bump into each other. And it just sort of explores how, you know, this one sort of night where they all go see this movie kind of stays with them. And the idea from that, for me, I've always been sort of amazed at these sort of big cultural moments, you know, like where you were when when you saw Star Wars for the first time, you know, when you heard the Rolling Stones, because we all have these experiences and, you know, they're very, especially when you're young, they sort of stick with you. And so I was curious to see what would happen to these three groups of teenagers who saw this movie.
You know, talking about young in the book Some Other World, maybe, we see things back where, there was the Hanging Chads. There's nobody really going to be president. They have to figure this out. Now, you were probably too young for that, weren't you?
Oh, no, I'm not nearly that young. No, I do. I have a lot of, like, sort of pop history type things in there because they're, you know, what I remember. The characters are a little older than me, I think, but not, you know, I think it's a few years. And so they have, I'm assuming, the same sort of, you know, memories of things like the 2000 election, you know, like 9/11, of course, you know, just these things that actually happen and they do affect us all, but in different ways. And, you know, people always ask you where you were when this happened, and this is where these people were. So that interests me a lot.
How much research did you have to do on this time?
Well, I lived my life, so it was pretty much the research. Like I said, they're pretty much the same age as I am. But I did go back and I checked a lot of things. I rewatched a lot of, you know, the news footage from like the 2000 election, especially. So, I mean, that was really interesting. And I always am really interested in that sort of, I feel like CNN needs a channel like CNN Classic, where you can sort of watch the news coverage of these major events. Because it's curious, and, you know, when you're seeing it at the time, you're so visually affected by what's going on that you don't actually, you know, process it. And it's always really interesting for me to go back and, you know, look at like the 9/11 coverage, especially because, you know, when it starts, like, oh, there's been this accident, and then it just gets progressively worse. And, you know, obviously in the moment, it's, you know, it's just way too much. But looking back, it's interesting to see just the reactions of the newscasters, just how, you know, the mood changed. So I did a lot of that kind of research. But again, you know, growing up in the 90s was probably the primary research there.
You know, I think I'd watch a channel like that. I wonder if Ted Turner's ever thought of that, or, you know, maybe you should copyright that somehow or something.
I would love to. I know that, like, for, I think, the 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination, they did play all the coverage again. I mean, you know, I do think there is an interest, but, you know, the problem would be, like, is there enough significant, you know, news to keep it going? Probably.
Well, I would say maybe each hour is maybe that day in history. Who knows? You know,
something. No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in some other world, maybe we're going from, goodness sakes, I think Chicago, Cincinnati. We're going to Hollywood, which is kind of cool.
We are going to Hollywood. My sister's an actress. She goes by the name Jackie Holland now, and she's been out there for a while. And it's a really interesting, you know, life. Like, she's doing pretty well, but, you know, even when you're doing pretty well, it's still difficult. And, it's tricky. And it's what was curious to me, what I wanted to explore here was, you know, what happens when you have two people, are pursuing the same dream and one has some success and one doesn't do as well, because it can be very difficult, and you know, especially when you're in the same field like that, it can be challenging. So that was something I wanted to look into. Yeah.
Did you talk to your sister about what it's like maybe to go out after auditions? Has she been in commercials? Maybe a Dannon commercial?
She's not been in a Dannon commercial that I know of, but she does. Yeah, she does a lot of things, and you know, people always say, "Oh, would I have seen her?" And I always say, "Well, maybe, but you wouldn't know who she was, because, you know, she'll have, you know, a couple lines here and there. She'll be on shows that we watch, you know, in a couple episodes, series, but it's not something you probably remember unless you were very familiar with it. But she does a lot of her own stuff actually now too. She does, you know, some writing. She does a lot of horror films, and those are really interesting, and I think it gives her a lot of creativity. So I'm glad she's doing that.
Some actors, of course, go off Broadway. Has she ever done that?
I think she's done some stuff in Los Angeles. Nothing in New York yet, but, you know, fingers crossed.
All right. Hey, you know, we were talking about the news. We were talking about the presidential race. There are things in your book, in some other world, maybe, that you refer to. Does that perhaps make it more visual for the reader? Or I should ask, how do you make it so visual?
You know, I teach occasionally, and I always just, you know, tell my students to try to find the details that are, you know, the things that are going to be memorable and unlock, you know, who a person is, what a place is, because you can't have everything in there. It'd be sort of boring to read. So I try to find the things that sort of pop or stand out. And I do feel like, because there is such a progression of time in the book, you know, it does take place over 20 years, that there are these touchstones that we do all remember. So hopefully that kind of sets you in place more so than if I had said specifically, oh, you know, these people were wearing flannel, you know, there might be mentions of people wearing flannel, but, you know, just sort of that kind of sets you up more than just like having the date or something like that would.
So you're teaching creative writing?
I do teach occasional creative writing. I do a lot of magazine work too, but yeah, I teach at the Gotham Writers Workshop in New York, and I do some private consulting too. I enjoy it. I think my students do too. You'd have to ask them.
Well, you know, I've noticed that in your book, some authors, they really over-describe things, and as somebody teaching creative writing, I guess that you take that into account, and you've seen it yourself probably in books that you've read, and does that kind of drive you just nuts when authors do that?
Well, okay. I never want to say anything bad about another writer unless the person's personally injured me. But I'm still actually reading The Goldfinch. I think I have like, you know, 20 pages left. And I love the book a lot, but I do feel like, personally, I found it sort of frustrating that there was a lot of description and things that seemed maybe unnecessary in parts. You know, not to take anything away from the book. Obviously, it's great. Obviously, it did amazing. But a lot of times, I was just so invested in the story. I was like, can we just get on with this? Can we just get on with this? So, yeah, I mean, I think that that's something I try to be aware of. Different readers value different things. You know, I have an uncle who loves, like, you know, tons and tons of description. But, you know, for me personally, I think I like the story to keep moving. And I like it if you can find the sort of descriptions that also tell you something about the characters. Because, you know, each character is going to have a perception about something. And I like it when you can sort of mix in that way of telling about a character and while you're telling about a place or about something like that.
So how do you weave the story so it is just so perfect in your book?
It had a lot of moving parts because it takes place over a long time and you have people in different cities at various different times. So I think one of the things that we did do was, it turns out the initial draft, there was a lot of issues. There were some time issues. So I ended up making, with my editor, these very detailed, lists of where every character is, you know, how old they are, and what, you know, what happens and when, and they all had to line up. And it gets really tricky. Like, I had to end up giving each character a birthday because obviously not everyone's birthday is January 1st. So, you know, you'd have a different year. And so you'd have to make sure that all matched up. I think it's all right now. I'm sure there's some reader somewhere who will find something, but, I challenged someone to do that. But yeah, I mean, it took a while to get that all in order. Because again, when I was writing, I was just sort of into it and I'd be like, oh, well, actually this happened 2 years earlier. So we have to sort of fix that a bit. It was time consuming.
So you do an outline of the book. How extensive is it?
I always tell students to like start writing with an outline if they can. But honestly, I don't do much of that. But for this case, it was more like when the book was done, I just had to make sure all the events lined up. It was several pages. Like I said, I had a list of every character's age, every character's where they were at the moment. Because sometimes the characters, you don't see, like they'll be off stage for a chapter or two. And so I still had to account for where they were and make sure it all lined up. So it was a multi-page affair. The copy editor probably did not like me much.
we were talking about the outline of the book with the cities and everything, and you put them in particular places. You maybe describe a little bit of the places. Do you have, like, on your wall or something, maybe some sort of an outline so you know exactly, maybe it's Chicago and where you've been and what you've described?
I don't. People have asked me that before, and I feel like I would love to because I watch a lot of, TV shows and such, and they always have the big board where they have people's pictures and they have the web connecting everyone. So I feel like that's going to be something I look forward to investing in, a giant, wall where we, do that kind of thing for the next book.
When I was reading a little bit about Sherry Goldhagen, and I was intrigued not by, the writing in Cosmopolitan so much, but from the National Enquirer, Us Weekly. Tell me a little bit about that. I've never met anybody that's really written articles for the National Enquirer.
Well, so I went to, graduate school at Ohio State and I got my MFA and I was moving to New York and I, had these aspirations of working for the New Yorker, but it turns out the New Yorker was not hiring. So I was at a magazine job fair. No one was hiring, but I was trying to eat some chocolate because they had it there and I'd already paid $10 to get into the magazine job fair. So I was trying to eat my weight in chocolate. And this guy came over to me and he said, are you a reporter? And I said, yes. And he said, you have a look we can use. And it turned out that he was an editor at the Enquirer. And what they wanted was a bunch of like youngish women to go to clubs and, restaurants where celebrities go and sort of, report the gossip. And so, again, the New Yorker was not hiring. So I went ahead with it and it was really fun. And it's a, sort of like a, I guess an incestuous industry. So once I was working for the Enquirer, then it wasn't much of a stretch to go to, Star and Us Weekly and Life and Style, where I do a lot of work still. It's different because people do enjoy it, but I've come to realize it's really just stories about characters. It's like we watch these and we want to see, the narrative between Angelina Jolie and Jenna Aniston. Like it's a great story. So, it's not necessarily high art, but it's the same thing as, someone looking for a literary book. It's just, wanting to hear a story, wanting the human emotion of these people we see. There are characters.
For instance, maybe Kanye West is at a bar and you're at that bar. You kind of make your way over, introduce yourself to them. ask friends and stuff maybe for story? How does that all work?
Well, it depends on the publication. A lot of times, you know, a lot of what we do is, you know, red carpet interviews, interviews like, you know, in a during a film junket or stuff like that. A lot of most of what I was doing when I was reporting, mostly I do writing now, so I'm pretty much in an office, but you know, when I was reporting, a lot of it was undercover. So you just kind of want to be where these people are. And, you know, depending on what the story is, you might be looking for specific things, you know. But again, it's a lot, you know, a lot of it's gossip. And I think a lot of times that these people will go to certain places because they know there's going to be people there and they, you know, want to be seen. They want part of a narrative to get out. So you can't feel too guilty about it, you know. Sometimes I feel like we should, you know, we as an industry, we're trying to leave children alone now, because that was the one thing that made me a little, you know, squeamish, because the kids didn't ask for that. So that's something the industry is doing, but is backing off. But yeah, I mean, I think it's you know, it's fun. It was always fun for me.
At the red carpet events, which side were you on? Which side of the rope?
Oh, I was on the microphone in your face. You know, I stick the microphone in someone's face, kind of thing. You know, it's just a fun, you know, I'm glad I had that experience. I think it was great. It was a very nice sort of foil to all the, you know, writing training I had that was wonderful in its own right. You know, getting a master's of fine arts, I was in a writing program at Northwestern when I was an undergrad, and I do feel like this is just sort of the flip side of, you know, the pop versus the, you know, the aspirational high art. So yeah, I mean, I you know, I have no complaints. I still would like to work for the New Yorker if they're ever hiring, but, you know, I've gotten over that.
Well, you know, in this book, Some Other World, maybe your first book?
It's my second book. My first novel was called Family and Other Accidents, and it came out a while ago because apparently I'm a slow writer. And that one was, it was similar in that it took place over a long period of time. It was about basically two brothers followed them over a period of time, and, you know, sort of we got their perspectives of their wives and girlfriends and such. So it's available. You should, you know, check that one out too.
Yeah, I have to do that. Now, this book, the other book, it takes place, what, about the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of overlap. The other book was written a while ago, so I guess it's a few years back. The characters might be a little older now. Although I think that book actually ended in about the, you know, I think 2013, the future, because I was writing ahead. So now it's, you know, it's probably perfectly okay versus when it came out in 2006, you were kind of, you know, shooting a little bit into the future. Yeah, they're similar. One of the characters in the first book, actually both of them are a little bit older than me. And that was an interesting experience because I was, at that point, I was pretty young. So I was writing about, you know, characters in their 40s and they're, you know, turning 50, and I was in my early 20s. So that was really interesting for me, and I liked doing that. I think I actually created those characters from the ground up, so they were very, very real to me versus someone who's more contemporary, where I'm probably just, you know, going off of my knowledge and assuming people have the same view, which is, you know, not always true, so you have to be careful about that.
So the first book took years to write. This one here probably took a little time because you were kind of hanging out at the New Yorker offices?
Yeah, I was hanging out there. It took a while for me to write. I'm the kind of writer who, you know, goes back to things. So my first book was pretty much my graduate thesis. You know, I spent a little more time on it after that. And this one, there's a chapter in here that is in my grad school thesis too. And so I, you know, I'd put it aside for a really long time, but I just kept thinking about these characters and I wanted to go back. And so, you know, I did go back to it. So really you could say it took me like, you know, 12 years because I had started it when I was in grad school. But you know, it's, I like to do that. And I actually did write a whole nother book in between that I need to go back to. But this one sort of, I just got caught up in it. And so I went with it. But yeah, I'm that writer who will like salvage things, for, you know, and go back to them. Because I get so invested in my characters. I don't want to let them, you know, die in a drawer. I need to have them in hardcover.
You know, but there's going to be a lot of people that say, gosh, you know, that author, Sherry Goldhagen, in Some Other World, maybe. Man, that was a fantastic book, you know. When's the next one coming out? Some of these authors, they can't come out fast enough.
Yeah, no, I mean, hopefully this one will be out sooner. Because like I said, it is more complete at this point, so I'm hoping to finish it within like the next year. Another thing is that there is a long publication schedule. Like this book, this book I sold, you know, it was completely written pretty much when I sold it, and I found out I was pregnant that week, and my kid is turning one next month, and the book just comes out now. So it's like you could have two kids in the time it takes to get a book out. So there is a lag time, but hopefully the next one will be out within the next few years.
So the very first one you wrote, no children. Now you have somebody that you have to kind of take care of also. How has that changed your writing from the first book to this one?
Well, I think it's actually been helpful because, well, for one thing, you know, in my first book, there were kids. And this book, there's, you know, one or two kids. And in my first book, I think I had like a two-year-old having like a full conversation because clearly I had no idea what two-year-olds are actually like. So I'm, you know, it was research in that respect. But I do think that writing when you have a child is completely possible. You just sort of focus your time more. When I used to, you know, not have a lot going on, I would just sort of spend all day writing, but really I spent a lot of the day, like, you know, playing around on the internet or, you know, thinking about something or taking a nap or going to the gym. And so I do feel like it's actually made me better because I'm just willing, you know, to like say, okay, I have 2 hours. This is the 2 hours I have. So I actually have to be better. And, you know, my writing mentor from OSU, you know, she told me this would happen too. And we were talking about that just the other day, that it seems, you know, to really actually be beneficial because someone had warned her not to have children, if, you know, not until you finish your second book, but...
So it sounds like the focus is a little more...
I feel like I have a wonderful husband who helps out quite a bit. So it's not like I'm, you know, on my own or anything. So I just feel like, yeah, I mean, it's just made me appreciative of my time more. But I've almost always found that I do better in compressed amounts of time. And I think this is probably true for other people. Like if you have all day to write, sometimes you'll think you have, oh, so much time, and then you won't actually get started until the day's almost over. So for me, it's much better to be like, okay, I have an hour. This is the hour I have. Let's do something and, you know, get that done there.
Some authors, with the characters in their book, they will carry that with them mostly in their, you know, in their life that they're writing the book. Sometimes at the store, there'll be different characters just to try that out. Are you the same way?
Yeah, I think I'm a method writer where I sort of get really involved in my characters' lives. A lot of it is... You know, I know, like, you know, we say, oh, I was like stalking celebrities. That was really exciting. But I've always been, I guess, not bored with my own life, but just sort of, in a sense, like a little bit bored. And so I always wanted to explore other characters. And so, yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking about how a specific character would react to a similar situation. One of the characters in this book actually does a lot of that because she becomes a writer. And I sort of really tapped into that. I remember like going to dances in high school and thinking, wow, I wonder how this character would react. And so, yeah, it's something I've been doing forever. It's just fun to play with people.
Yeah, you know, I would not say you were stalking stars and stuff. You were doing research. So when you become that famous author, that's the lifestyle that you might consider.
Yeah, no, I'm happily, you know, I can be stalked. That's I think I'm okay with that. I think I've deserved that at this point. But I am like always amazed that even writers I you know, love, I would, you know, probably not recognize on the street. You don't see them a whole lot, except for like Salman Rushdie, who, you know, was hiding, but somehow we all knew what he looked like. Yeah. So yeah.
But that's good though, because I think that actors like your sister, you know, some people know what she looks like. Some people might want to do that, but with writers, radio people, it's a little more difficult.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the great things about, you know, working in a medium where it's not you being visual is that you can do it for a long time and you can still write about young characters, even, you know, when you're 90. So as opposed to being an actor where you probably can't play a teenager when you're 90. So I do think that that's one of the great things, is that you can still play with these people. And I, you know, I feel like I seem to have a better connection with like what it's like to be a teenager now than I did when I was actually a teenager. So I think that it's great to go back and sort of, you know, play with these people and tap into that. So,
well, some of your protagonists in Some Other World, maybe Phoebe, Adam, Ollie, I mean, are they coming back in the next book, or is this pretty much a standalone book?
Well, I hope it stands alone. I'm not sure. You know, we'll have to see how it does. You know, I don't know if people are clamoring for the next installment. I know my editor would like to know what happens to some of the characters afterwards. But yeah, I mean, personally, I'm interested in it. I've actually written, you know, a little bit beyond. And I don't know if I'll ever do anything with that. I did that with my last book, too. I was just very curious about the characters and what happened to them afterwards. And I actually think that in my head, some of the characters from that book meet some of the characters from this book. But I mean, again, I mean, that might be for me, not so much for consumption. Just, you know, because these people are so close to me, I'm very invested. And I feel like sometimes what's like a satisfying ending isn't necessarily, you know, satisfying for the writer, because it's not what you want to have happen. And so I think that for me, it's interesting to explore, you know, see what happens.
Well, if I want to find out more information about Sherry Goldhagen in Some Other World, maybe your first book, I'm sure you've got a website.
I do. It's sherrygoldhagen.com. I'll spell it. It's sherrygoldhagen.com. And you know, you can always email me at sherry@sherrygoldhagen.com, too, if anyone really wants to know anything more about me.
Well, I just might, myself. But what else will we see on your website?
There's you know, there's information about both books. There's some of my other writing. I do a lot of magazine type stuff. Not so much the celebrity stuff, because that's, you know, pretty much there and gone in each week. But I've done, like, you know, some writing for other, you know, magazines, like more personal pieces. So there's that information. You can find a, you know, picture, some buttons you can push to order the book.
That's important right there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, the book is In Some Other World, Maybe, by Sherry Goldhagen. You know, I would say this book, pretty much a coming-of-age book, if you will. We see kids, school kids, they start out, and then they progress through life. You're going to love the characters in this book and fall in love with the story in Some Other World, Maybe. Sherry, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark Dewitt, along with Sherry Goldhagen, author of her new book, In Some Other World, Maybe. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.